There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Shout out to John Fricke for filling in yesterday. Appreciate that. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Welcome back. Appreciate you, John Fricke. And yes, there was a lot of stinky town and all that references every day, all day yesterday, getting Bo all in his feelings. And you know how that happens. And then Bo wants to play all the New Orleans thing and piss everybody else off because Fricky's egging him on and everything like that. So
that's good. That sounds great.
Yeah. So
that
it's perfect. It's rivalry week here in Atlanta as we get ready to go down to New Orleans and take on the Saints. Yeesh. But, how was San Fran?
It was great.
The weather was great.
The weather was perfect.
Okay.
It was a postcard day in the Bay Area on Sunday. It was amazing.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I was just in San Fran, so that's why I was like.
It was perfect.
Okay.
I got a very uniquely San Francisco experience on Sunday where, first of all, fall back. I'm sure people have been that whatever, how you feel about it, whatever. But like you go to the West Coast that night, Saturday night, and get an extra hour. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Because I thought it was 7.
Right.
I was like, well, I'm ready to go.
Right.
I was like, oh no. Okay. Well, nothing's open. So I had to bide my time until stuff finally got open. And I was walking across town to meet a friend for breakfast. And I don't know the city very well.
Mm-hmm.
And from where I stayed and where she wanted to meet for breakfast, there were various routes I could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
The one I went was probably the most probably the most scenic San Francisco style.
Mm-hmm.
Walked right through the Tenderloin.
Yeah,
just
man.
Just didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was like, wow, it's okay. All right. One way to wake up on a Sunday morning. That'll wake you up, man. It was great. It was a really good time. But you know what? You live and learn. You know what I mean? It's not just about going to see the Golden Gate Bridge.
No, you want to see all of San Fran.
See like a homeless person poop on the sidewalk.
Yeah, man.
You know, might as well.
Yeah, dog. It's life. That's what I call it. It's life.
There's the spectrum.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can see all the beautiful postcard sites that exist in beautiful cities like that. And then, you know, the part of it that make it a gritty city, too. You know, there's the real side of it as well. So I got to see that. And then, it was good. Got a chance to get out there and see some people that I needed to see and tell some people I loved them and tell them goodbye and stuff like that.
Right.
And it was really, really wonderful. So thanks, everyone here, for letting me go do that because it was awesome.
No.
A lot of good football over the weekend as well. Now, I was sort of Saturday traveling and stuff in and out of it, but I got to see quite a bit. Watched the whole first half of the Georgia game at the airport with a bunch of Georgia fans.
Pretty
and
cool.
Then got on the airplane and didn't know because I'm flying Frontier, which, by the way, was another very fun and unique experience. I had never done that before.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. We'll talk about that throughout the show. No, I will say. Very affordable.
Yeah.
I understand why.
Right.
So
exactly.
Affordable.
Exactly.
Basically pay for air on that one. If you want to buckle your seatbelt, that's $5. But so that was pretty cool. But so I didn't know what happened. Like I got on the plane. They were losing at halftime. It was like 13-6 or something.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that.
Carson Beckett thrown a couple terrible interceptions.
Yes.
It was like Georgia's not gonna lose to Florida.
No.
Like they're certainly not gonna lose to Florida, are they? And then they did. And they won 34-20, but goodness gracious. What's going on with that guy?
I don't know.
How come he can't stop throwing it to the other guys?
I have no clue. And I'm at the point, and maybe I might change my thought by Friday, but I don't trust this dude, man. I don't trust him. And when quarterbacks throw interceptions like he's throwing interceptions, that's not it. That don't go away.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're a play caller that takes it away. And they can't do that.
Because the problem
they
is.
They can't do that.
The problem is he's also making great throws.
Yes.
He's all, the offense, and this is such a ridiculous thing to say, but you know what I mean. And
yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Like when he isn't throwing it to the wrong team,
yes.
It looks really good.
Yes.
Like the offense is moving.
Yes.
I mean, and they're moving up and down the field, and they did a ton in that game for sure. But you also can't say that and not act like that's not a huge deal, because throwing it to the other team is a really big deal.
Yes, it is.
And he's done it three times in a game, three times this year.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And you can the ultimate thing, and I made you remember we were at John Parler, his golf tournament, we were leaving, and the young lady pulls up on the cart. Hot take, Florida's going to beat Georgia. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then, Carson's going to throw interceptions because he got the Lamborghini and the girl and all that stuff. And I was like, that's not why he's throwing interceptions. Okay?
I don't know. I don't think it is either.
No.
But it's something.
It's something. But
I can't explain.
But it was irritating. The whole – when I saw him on Saturday, I got irritated. Why the hell you come out with all this war paint or something?
I don't know.
Like, what the hell?
He's doing way too much.
He's doing way too damn much. Just go play quarterback.
Yeah, just be a quarterback.
Just go play quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know where to go with this right now, man. I know I don't, and I don't think that you're going to beat Ole Miss throwing three interceptions.
No, if you throw three interceptions on Saturday, you're going to lose to Ole Miss.
They're going
to
lose. Yeah. They're going to lose. And they might get their ass whipped, Andy. Because
I don't think they will, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, because they got Texas has a good ass offense too.
Yeah, Georgia is going to show up. They show up.
Yeah, we're going to show up.
Especially if defense is going to show up and be fine.
But like, just him in the and just like and it's just like okay, I take away the one in Texas when Lawson drops it. Lawson, you got to catch the ball.
Okay.
The last interception he threw against Florida, he got hit while throwing the football.
Okay.
The other one's like, where the hell are you throwing the football?
The other one's just being absurdly aggressive on like first down too. Like
that's
the thing that's so annoying about it. I mean, it's all annoying if it was first down or third down, but at least if it was third down and he's like under duress or something like that, he's pressured and trying to make a play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in these cases, it's almost as if he's just trying to prove, I don't know if it's to himself or whatever. He's just trying to prove that he can make those throws. And he's throwing it into really dangerous spots.
Yes.
He's like, oh, it's double coverage, but I got a cannon.
I can rifle this in there.
He's like, dude, it's first down. Just throw it away or check down or something and live to play another play and then make the great throw when the guy's open on the next play.
Yes.
Because that's the thing. Like, guys are open a lot. And a lot of the throws that they're making in the offense when it's working is to open receivers. These interceptions that he's throwing are just horrible, forced, over-aggressive throws into places that it's never going to work. Like, Florida guys can catch. Like, you throw it into double coverage like that, they're going to catch
it. And it was
football.
A hell of a catch the dude made. He just reached out and snatched it. Like, yeah. And then Herbie's like, well.
But that's what I don't get about it is why in those situations. Like, you can justify over-aggressiveness if the, you know, late in games or if you're under pressure, third and long, whatever. It's like first and 10 in the first quarter. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, man. I don't know. But, I don't know what to do because you got to let him throw the ball down the field.
Oh,
you know,
and they're not going to take him out.
They're not going to take him out. They're not going to put Gunner in.
Well, the most annoying thing probably for you and Georgia fans is he does get better. Like, he'll do all that dumb stuff, and then he'll play awesome.
But then,
and it's like, what? Like, why are you – just do that the whole time. Like, just don't. Don't make those terrible, ridiculous throws early in the game. Like, he'll settle down and still throw for like 350.
Yeah,
and
but,
a couple
but that's
touchdowns.
What I'm saying. Like, why do we need to do this?
I don't know.
Why do we need to do this? You're going against a very good team, very good, especially up front defensively.
Oh, yeah.
They got some dudes over there and everything like that.
Yeah, people talk about Ole Miss's defense because their offense can be dynamic and it certainly was on Saturday. They put up a million points on Saturday. But Ole Miss defense. They'll make you pay.
Hell yeah, they are rugged. And then you talk offensively, they got weapons galore. They got receivers on top of receivers. And I don't know who number 11 was. He had five touchdowns on Saturday.
He did have five touchdowns.
Yeah, just like I'm just gonna go over here and work these dudes and everything like that. And they're playing well. And we talked a little bit yesterday as far as some things that we've said on the show leading up to obviously this game. But like this would be a his statement win. Talking about Lane Kiffin.
Oh,
like when I was like, when is he
had one? Which is why you can't possibly be picking Ole Miss. Like no one could be, right?
I don't know.
Like
I don't know. What's the line? Are we favored in this game?
I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know. Again, I know Carson Beck has made some mistakes for sure, but like he's not making so many mistakes that people are gonna People are going to buy Lane Kiffin now, are they?
Hey, it's a possibility.
I made that mistake.
Two and a half? Okay, thanks,
bro. I made that mistake for the last time last week. All right? I thought Penn State was going to beat Ohio State like an idiot. Mm-hmm. I've been very consistent for years about when it comes down to splitting hairs, right, in those games, take the coach you trust.
Yep.
You don't trust Lane Kiffin?
Nope.
Not to win a game.
Not to win that game. But
yeah, he might say something funny on Thursday.
But I look at it from a standpoint where the guy who has the ball more than anybody.
Yeah.
Who's responsible? You remember what I said? The hopes and dreams are in everybody, and you have everybody's hopes and dreams with that ball in your hand.
Yep.
And he has just been, I mean, they've been winning, so I can't say let us down, but like.
Yeah, but he has. And you're right. They have been winning, and they're the number two team in the country. And when the playoff rankings come out tonight, they'll probably be the number two team in the country. And yet, he's holding them back.
Yep.
Like, he's holding them back from what the potential of the team is. If they had a quarterback who wasn't throwing three interceptions a game in SEC play, then they'd be the number one team in the country because they wouldn't have lost to Alabama because they wouldn't have put them behind the eight ball like he did in the first half of that game and then required that crazy comeback and then still threw an interception at the end to end the game, right? Like, the thing that everyone stops talking about is like, well, he played great. Yeah, until he didn't, until it was time to win the game, and then he threw an interception again. I mean, Georgia's capable of a lot. But he seems to be the roadblock.
Yes. He is. And that's the bad, and that's what I'm saying. When you have a national contending team and it's the damn quarterback. And it's not necessarily the quarterback when you look at it, well, he's limited. Well, all he can do is run or something like this. No, he's turning the ball over.
Right. Because he's got all what you want.
Yes.
He just does really dumb stuff sometimes.
Yes.
Which is like, how do you fix that?
That's what I'm saying. I don't trust that it's going to get fixed.
Yeah.
Unless Bobo just don't let him throw the ball.
Well, and you know he's not going to do that.
And that's not going to happen.
Bobo's throwing the ball.
Yes. Yes. And then we don't know Etienne's status. I mean, I love me some
Nate. Seems like he'd be okay.
I love me some Nate Frazier. I just love watching that young boy run the football, man.
Don't throw it slash, though.
Yeah, but
they get mad at you for that.
Oh, yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Gator Chomp's all right.
Yeah, the Gator. Nobody's mad about that.
Nobody's mad about that.
But I just love the reaction of his teammates. They were like, this dude didn't.
Freshman.
No, he did not.
Freshman.
Yeah, man.
All right, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back. It is the NFL trade deadline today, and some trades have already been made. Some pass rushers, too. Dang it. Pass rushers we like. Talk about what the Falcons may do and what's trending after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, there's no difference in what we want to take the mentality to the South, right? There's no such thing as running too far, and we got to go out there and go get them.
Raheem's brief message on this weekend's game coming up against the New Orleans Saints, and we'll get there. We'll get there as the week goes on. Obviously, you know that's the one coming up. Chance to go 5-0 in the division. Should go 5-0 in the division. The Saints are terrible. Fired their coach. New coach energy, though, sometimes.
That was a big emphasis yesterday.
Okay, yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, man.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either. But
with them, but...
But it does happen.
It does happen. Here's what I do buy, and I loved hearing the guys talk about it after the game on Sunday. They were like, we know that we're capable of playing really well, coming out, getting going, whatever. We've also found out, like in that Seattle game, we're capable of coming out flat and just not being ready.
Yep.
So don't do that against the Saints, because if they come out ready and play their game, they're going to beat the Saints by three touchdowns, which would be great. Awesome win on Sunday against the Cowboys as well. I'm sure you guys spent a million, not hours because the show's only 3 hours long, but What would there be a million of? Million seconds yesterday talking about that. I'm sure you talked a lot about it yesterday, understandably. But, yeah, great win. Great win. Looked awesome. Kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit in the fourth quarter.
That's why I was
they
like,
could have stomped him out.
Yes.
Probably beat him by 17. Instead, you kind of played with it a little bit and let him hang around. But, I mean, if that's the nit you're picking, that's pretty solid stuff. And thought they looked pretty damn good.
I know. I think it was just more or less like that game coming down to an onside kick. It was like,
it didn't have to.
And they ran 20 more plays than the Falcons did and everything. But, yeah, that was my only thing is that it didn't have to come down to an onside kick, which they were able to get because Kyle went and got the ball instead of waiting for the ball to come to him. And so, you know, you go back and now you're in a position where who knows what the hell's going on in Dallas. I mean, Dak's going to be out for a while and everything like that.
They traded for Jonathan Mingo.
Dak's going to be out for a while, and so we just don't know what's gonna go on with that. But, yeah, you look as far as where the Falcons are. I mean, they got the sacks, the Sykes.
They did, and they got two in a row.
The bike, Sykes.
Like, that's the funniest thing. They went a month without getting a sack, and then they were like, all right, two sacks on two straight plays.
Yes.
What?
Bike. You know, and
good, great. Yeah, they got a couple sacks. That's nice.
There's just certain things you hope.
We like it.
You hope that they're. I mean, you didn't come out clean with Grady. It says precaution there, so hopefully Grady's all right.
Yeah.
We found out yesterday that Drake London has a hip pointer, and those things are all about pain tolerance because it's going to be hurting, it's going to be sore, and things
sounded
like that.
Sounded like he thought he could have played Sunday.
Yeah.
He was just like, you know, don't push it if you don't have to.
Right.
And I like the way things are going right now. So he was a little careful with it. But it's not like if it was like a playoff game or whatever,
he might have
been right back out there on Sunday against the Cowboys.
Yeah, man. But, hopefully that's something that, you know, can get through. And as they get ready, you know, another division opponent, they can slam the door on the division. They win this game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can just slam the door on and it'd be a wrap right now. I think it's a wrap right now, but they still got to go down there and play against in New Orleans. You know, and it sounds funny, but we've seen it. The new coach in. We've seen new coaches. They come and get that first win, and then they won't win another game.
Yeah, well, because look, the Saints aren't good, obviously.
No, they're not.
But they're not like, you know, they're not a total. I mean, they got a lot of injuries and all that kind of stuff. But like, they played decently at times this year. And obviously, the beginning of the season, they got off to that great start. Like, from what you read, a huge part of what happened over the last month is they just totally, like, dude lost the locker room.
Yep.
Like, he lost the team.
Yep.
And the effort showed it.
Yep.
Like, it looked like no one was interested. So, again, what's the guy's name? Rizzy?
Yeah.
Rizzler?
Rizzy.
You got the Rizzler in there?
Darren Rizzy.
All right, Darren Rizzy.
And it's crazy because he's lost it. And when you have everybody damn near on that team went to their phone, probably in the locker room, where they showed the pass still on.
Everyone was very happy that they fired the coach.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And then you look at, you know, it was the Panthers. They lost to the damn Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest thing.
Not the Andy Dalton Panthers.
You know what I mean? They lost to the damn Panthers.
And
that was the one thing like that, like this weekend. I think the Giants and the Panthers are going overseas. Who wants to see that crap? But hell.
Good. That's who we should be sending.
Don't let Brian Daboll lose. He ain't coming back from Munich with a job.
You know, no, didn't they already say he's good?
Let them lose to the damn Panthers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that might change
Daboll's
their mind.
I think Daboll's a good
coach. I do too.
He's the victim of his own success.
Yes.
Like, he did too good of a job with Daniel Jones.
Yes.
And then they had to pay him, so now he has to play him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's unbelievable, man. But the Falcons are in prime position to win this division. And it's been a focus since Raheem's been here. It's about taking care of the South. And then once you finish the South, then it's about the rest of the NFC. And then it's hopefully you can find a way to play in that game, in that stadium that's going to be there, that's going to be at the beginning of February.
Oh, the Super Bowl?
In the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
I don't know, but that'd
it is, because that'd be
phenomenal.
When everybody mad at, that's when people mad at Lil Wayne and everything.
Mad about Lil Wayne. That is funny. That's the reason I know that it's in New Orleans.
Yeah, me too.
Because everyone's mad Lil Wayne doesn't get to perform.
Yeah.
Even though the Super Bowl has been in New Orleans during his career.
Yes.
Maybe when he was even more popular.
Yeah.
And he didn't perform then either. But that died down.
You know,
people don't care about that anymore.
You know what's so crazy is that I saw, did you see the videos of like the Cash Money reunion? Oh, it's freaking awesome.
Sounds great.
It was freaking awesome. All of them were up there. Turk, all of them.
Where were they?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know they were all there, and it was awesome.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
That's great. I got to check that out.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I missed a lot of stuff the last few days.
That's all good, man.
Definitely missed that. I need to check that out.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's more important than almost anything that I missed.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't see the Cash Money reunion.
It's pretty good.
Let me try to articulate this, and you can tell me if this is how you felt here.
Let me hear it.
Okay? It felt just sort of being, you know, being away from it, listening to, watching some of the national shows, listening to stuff here and there. Like, the perception of the Falcons shifted on Sunday. I don't know why that would have happened, because they're better than the Cowboys and they beat them. But maybe it's because it is the Cowboys.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
It is.
But it felt like people are now okay. Like, this team's capable of this.
Well,
which maybe before last week, that wasn't as much of part of the conversation.
Maybe.
And I think it is because it was the Cowboys.
Yeah, and maybe it was more of a national type game
because it was the Cowboys.
And then you saw them sack the quarterback.
Because that have you gotten that sense as well?
But since
that win, people have been willing to go further with their expectations.
We said this on Friday, though. We said that, you know, whatever Monday morning comes, whatever talk show, TV show, whatever, was going to lead with the Falcons and the Cowboys.
Now definitely.
It's going to be more or less. There it was.
Yeah, for sure.
And there it was.
But again, maybe that's sort of exactly what we're talking about, is it was more visible because of the opponent, and I'm talking from a national perspective.
Right.
But like, anybody paying attention, and maybe I'm giving people too much credit for paying attention, but anybody paying attention knew the Cowboys weren't very good. Like, they're not playing good.
They're not good.
They're not very good.
But they're the Cowboys.
And then the Falcons beat them, kind of like a team that isn't very good.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And
like,
they let them off the
hook. It went kind of exactly. It was very workmanlike, as I heard Dave Archer say that a couple times in some of the interviews, and he's right. It was just a really professional, sound win.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is what the Falcons are capable of. So I guess my point is, I'm a little surprised to see the reaction be what it has been, mm-hmm. because I knew the Falcons were good,
but
I knew the Cowboys weren't,
but
they beat them like they
were. But
weren't.
No, it's the Cowboy thing, because
okay.
nobody's really talking about the Falcons, you know, and everything like that. But
I think they are
three.
Now a little more.
Because
yeah,
they
the last 2 days.
You got the chance to see them go against
yeah.
it. And obviously, Kirk Cousins has come over as a free agent quarterback and is playing lights out.
Uh-huh.
And then, like I said, the people that probably didn't get to see the Falcons, saw the Falcons defense get a couple sacks,
yeah.
shut down Dak in a –
because that was the national game. Like, I was in
yes.
I was in my hotel room in San Francisco
yes.
watching the Falcons and Cowboys, because
yeah.
that was the game
yeah.
that was shown coast to coast.
Yeah, and so you look at
more
it.
More people got to see it, I guess.
And I think that is definitely got to be it. And you saw them play well, win the football game, and pretty much shut down the Cowboys and Dak and everything like that. But, no, I think they're a good football team. We were talking yesterday. Are they – thing with the Lions is that they went out and made a trade. We'll talk about that in the no huddle. But, you know, they're averaging 30 points a damn game.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
They're really good.
Yeah.
And also their defense isn't bad either.
Yeah.
Like, they give up less than 10 points a game.
Yeah.
Not less than 10. They're a top 10
yeah.
scoring defense as
yeah.
well. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
They're really good. Yeah, and they did. They added Za'Darius Smith, who was a
really good player.
You know, one of the guys, again, everybody knows these guys. It's not our intellectual property or anything like that, but that is a guy we would have loved to have seen the Falcons go get.
Yeah, I mean,
deadline's today,
4:00,
4.5 hours,
and so we'll see. I'm sure that the Terry's phone up there in Flower Branch is ringing, and he's calling people and everything like that, trying to see if
he's calling people up
there to see if they can upgrade this roster, especially on the defensive side of the football.
I hope there's more outgoing calls than incoming calls.
Oh, I agree with that,
because I don't feel like
But
the Falcons giving up.
Nobody,
not giving
but
anybody
I'm just
up.
Like, why, would, do you think, like, I was looking at, like, different rosters. Do you think, like, New Orleans will give up Chase Young?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, I mean, would he trade him?
Would
to
you
the
trade in division?
Yeah. Would you trade him to the Falcons?
How bad is it?
Yeah. I mean, there's some guys that can help you. Chase Young can help you.
Yeah.
You know, is there somebody, I mean, you know, if you want to just call somebody.
Call them all.
Yeah.
Call them all. Because these guys are all going for fifth rounders.
Yes. Like, except for the backup wide receiver that the Cowboys got.
They did have to give up a fourth
they gave
rounder.
A fourth rounder for backup receiver.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Way to go, Jerry.
Hey, but they got one.
Jerry's losing it, man. Jerry still think they can win.
I don't know what Jerry's doing, man.
I don't know either.
I don't
man.
Know why he would make a trade like that. I know who can win because they do every single time they play. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, man.
It doesn't matter how the game goes. It doesn't matter how it starts. It doesn't matter if Patrick Mahomes hyperextends his knee while throwing a touchdown pass.
Yes.
He's fine. Here's the ending to that game.
Mahomes under center. Gets the snap. Spins. Hunt. Got the block. Running over the right guard. Touchdown, Chiefs. They win it in overtime. 30-24. And they go to 8-0.
Yeah, man. He was great yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins was outstanding. Kelce, 14 catches, I think he had. And then you look at it, Andy. I know people on Todd Bowles because he didn't go for the two and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm not going to do that if I'm going to get on Nick Sirianni about taking the damn points. I'm not going to get on Todd Bowles. I know it's Patrick Mahomes, and you saw when they won the coin toss, Baker's face.
Yeah, come on.
you saw Baker's face like, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. But you're Todd Bowles, you think your defense, you're like, okay, we can hold him to three. Because Baker was cooking.
Baker has been cooking.
He's a gamer.
Like, I don't feel bad for him because whatever.
Yeah.
But I do a little because he's balling this
year.
He's
a gamer.
And all his receivers are hurt, and his defense sucks. And like he puts together a drive to tie it to go to overtime. He played awesome in both losses that the Falcons went and got from him. Like he's balling this year.
Yep.
And they're 4-5.
Yep.
Because they've gotten out executed and whatever you want to call it, crunch time by the teams they've been playing against, and obviously it was Patrick Mahomes last night, but like he's playing better than a 4-5 record.
Yes, he is.
He just has a four and five roster around him because of injuries.
Yeah, but I just
I would have gone for two.
I would have went for two. Probably.
I would have gone for two.
I probably could, but yeah, that was the funniest thing was Baker's face when they lost the coin toss.
Well, see you guys next week.
Well,
see you next Sunday.
They're gonna start unbuckling my damn shoulder pads because this guy number 15 is gonna go down here and score.
We know what he's gonna do.
And which they did.
Yeah,
which they did. And he was outstanding.
He was. No, Mahomes was really good yesterday.
Yes,
probably the best game he's played all year.
He was outstanding.
Three touchdowns. What, 291 passing, 34 of 44. Just that little flick over the defense for the touchdown.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, if the guy covers the running back, he's going to walk in the end zone.
Sure.
Yeah, Pat's going to walk
well,
in.
Well, then it like, oh, did he get hurt? No big deal. Patrick Mahomes also doesn't get hurt either ever, so everything's fine.
They saw Carson Wentz warming up. He's like, hold on.
No, never mind.
Never mind. I'm all right.
Get me out of this blue tent.
Yeah, I'm all right, Andy.
All right, Mike Conte is going to join us next. We'll talk about the Hawks. That didn't go great last night. How much do you think Conte wants to talk about Saturday?
I think he prefers to talk about Saturday before he would talk about yesterday. Because Boston came here and kicked the Hawks' ass.
I don't know. I think Saturday hurt different.
I know what you're talking about Saturday. I'm talking about the soccer game.
Oh, let's talk about that Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That part of
Saturday,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Sure.
I'm not talking about the other part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He don't want to talk about hot sauce.
I know, but he has to. That's a part of it. He has to. We'll talk about all those things coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Twenty minutes away from an NFL no huddle kickoff, the noon hour here on a Tuesday. We'll get back into what happened last night on Monday Night Football and get back into the Falcons' win over the Cowboys as well as we continue looking ahead to the coming game against the Saints. We'll also keep an eye on the trade deadline as it is NFL trade deadline day today at 4:00. A couple of moves have been made, which we told you about, but anything happens between now and noon, we'll let you know, and obviously throughout the entirety of the show as well. But 11:40 on Tuesdays mean Mike Conte joins the show. So let's get to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing?
Great.
It's
really
good
great.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. And there's a lot to talk about, obviously. Some of it not good, but some of it very good. So let's start with very good and all Saturday right. night and what that was like and how exciting all that was.
Felt like old times.
Yeah,
it was really cool. Felt like old times. And I'll tell you what, guys, I wouldn't bet against them going down to Fort Lauderdale on Saturday. I mean, there's something intangible going on right now. Three times in the last 2 weeks, they've had to win to keep their season going. Not draw,
right?
Win. And they did it all three times. Now, I think all the pressure's on Messi. And the Super Friends
Hell
in Miami.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely, they're
the greatest team in the history of this league. You know, Jason made a really good point. Maybe the best professional soccer team ever to play in this country. You know, you go back to the New York Cosmos days and
this side
might be even better. All the pressure's on them. You've got Atlanta United, who finished 34 points below them on the table, playing with absolute house money now, with nothing to lose. Going in there on Saturday, I would not bet against them, guys. It's been very special. It's been a lot of fun. It is more than made up for, you know, 4 or 5 months of
sure.
kind of a chore at times because there were moments where I was pretty down on this team. But what a great job by Rob Valentino. What a great job by Brad Guzan, even making a little bit of a big mistake on Saturday, but his team picked him up and saved him, and it's all just kind of clicking right now out of nowhere, and it's really fun to see.
Yeah, you could kind of tell when we talked to Rob this week, and the intensity that he was, the vibes that he, when we were interviewing him, coming off like we're not favored and everything like that, but if it all goes how we needed to go, like you said, a big mistake by Brad, but they were able to overcome that and find a way to keep their season alive. And when you look at them going down there, like, where, as far as how would you play this any differently than you did Saturday?
Well, I don't think you play it any differently at all. Okay. I think you stick with the back five. Okay. I think that's been effective really all year against Miami, even in the regular season when you went down there and beat them 3-1. I think you stick with the back five. There might be a question, is Steven Gregerson going to be good enough injury-wise where he could play or potentially even start? So you might make a change there. You might not, though. You know, personnel-wise, I think Rob did a really good job of getting the best 11 possible players out there on the pitch on Saturday, and I think he'll do it again this Saturday, barring any kind of unforeseen, you know, like 2 weeks ago you had an unforeseen illness go through the team right before kickoff, and you lost one guy and a couple other people got sick after the game. So you hope that doesn't happen, but I'd play it the exact same way. I'm going to be interested to see how Tata adjusts for Miami. He's got a player, started all but one game for them all year, and he benched him from the playoffs. Guy that we know here, Julian Gressel. Does he push that button? Or does Tata try to present a image of not panicking, and he tries to go with the same group too? Because I think, you know, Tata knows when you start making changes, when you lose a game, you start making changes, you're kind of throwing up a red flag, not only to the opposition, but maybe your own team that, we're in a little bit of trouble here. We need to figure this out. And in listening to Tata's post-game remarks on Saturday, he said, look, we're good. Right. You know, we controlled the game. We lost, but we controlled the game. We've got a bunch of guys who have been in this position before. I mean, do you really think Lionel Messi is freaked out about going to a Game 3 against Atlanta United in an 18,000-seat stadium on a Saturday night when he's played in, like, a World Cup final and won an Olympic gold medal? No.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine probably.
These guys have got that.
From a nerve standpoint, he'll probably be okay. Out.
Yeah.
So, but I would play it the same way, Randy. And again, I think it's a credit to the job that Rob Valentino has done. He's had to do some problem solving here to figure out a lineup, and he's done a really good job.
Yeah, which leads me to this, because I've asked this a number of times, and, you know, all of those times happened before Saturday, or a lot of them before the playoff run at all. But, I mean, Rob Valentino took over, and they found a way to make it in, and now they've won two playoff games, which is remarkable given what the summer looked like and everything that happened. I mean, I guess beating him on Saturday may be the way to do it, but like how can you not give this guy a serious consideration to be the manager of this team with what he's done?
If they beat him on Saturday,
you have to hire him.
I don't, yeah.
You have to.
I mean, because you have to be careful. You really do have to be careful. It is very easy to become prisoner of the moment.
True.
But whoa, if you were to knock Miami out of the playoffs and the way that you got yourself to even be in that position, I don't know. I mean, that would be I do not envy the people at the club who would then be making those decisions because we know that, as Garth Lagerwey has said on our pregame interviews before, and I think he said it with you guys and in other public interviews, the plan in the offseason is new coach, new GM, two new designated players, hopefully at least one, maybe two. Do they veer off the plan now because they've won a couple games in October and November? But boy, if you knock those guys out, and then here's the other thing: the rest of the Eastern Conference right now, Columbus is out. Okay, the MLS Cup champion from last year, they are out. They lost to Red Bulls. Cincinnati is going to a Game 3. Orlando is going to a Game 3. If Atlanta were to find a way to win this thing on Saturday, now you look at the rest of
who
the
knows?
Bracket.
Yep.
And,
who knows?
And you would be in the conference finals by beating either Orlando or Charlotte. You know you can do that.
Yeah.
And then in the conference finals, you'd play either Red Bulls or Cincinnati, or New York City, I guess. One of those three. You've beaten all three of those teams this year. I mean, come on. That point, then it's not a debate.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's a lot of fun to even think.
I wanted to ask you a question because I know you worked down in New Orleans and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You know the Saints team, and if obviously they fired their coach. Is it time to let Mickey Loomis go too?
Your thought? It won't happen.
Why?
He part owns the team. He's in the ownership group.
Okay.
He's there.
There you go.
I mean, Gail Benson loves that guy.
Right.
So he's in the ownership group. He's not going anywhere, I don't think.
Okay.
They're screwed for years.
Honestly, I think one of the reasons why Terry Fondo's here in Atlanta
is because he knew that.
Like, that guy's not going anywhere. He co-owns the team.
Right.
So No, I don't think Mickey Loomis is going anywhere. I feel a little bit bad for Dennis Allen. It's not his fault with all these injuries. Then again, I point to the way that things ended last year in that game with Atlanta and the thing with Jameis on the goal line. That was a clear sign that Dennis Allen never had control of that team.
Right.
So maybe this was a couple months overdue. I never want to see anyone lose their job. Correct. I don't like it for Atlanta. I don't like having to go in now and play a team might have that new coach energy. I wish they would have waited one.
You like
more
to
week.
Play him at the end. You want to be the team that gets
the guy. You want to get him fired, not get the new guy a raise.
Yeah, but you don't get to lose to Carolina and keep your job though when you've lost seven.
Especially
in a row.
The way they lost it.
Yeah,
too,
yes. Absolutely.
Where they blew a lead
and all the losses in a row and the locker room and all that. All right, so. Everybody knows you're a huge Penn State fan. We talked about it last week leading into the game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't win that game.
Oh, hold on.
What?
Bitter enemies this week, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Whiteout, Washington coming to town.
That's right. And we got a big win over USC.
Yeah.
Where they choked repeatedly because they're poorly coached.
This is where Penn State's going to trick a game. I'm telling you, it might not be this week, but they're going to trick another game. And that's why I'm so upset about what happened on Saturday, because I knew they were still going to trick a game at some point. James Franklin, I don't like him going up against P.J. Fleck even, and they have to play Minnesota. I don't like him going up against Mike Locksley. I don't like him going up against who's Washington's coach?
Jed Fish.
I don't like him going up against the Arizona coach, Jed Fish. Why is that game on Peacock, by the way? Why is that not on... like linear television?
I don't know.
You have the defending.
They should put all our games on Peacock.
Runner-up in a whiteout. I don't get it.
It is weird. It was also weird on Saturday to have USC and Washington, who've played 1,000 times.
As a Big Ten game.
It was on the Big Ten Network only.
Like, I know. Crazy. Cool. Crazy. Look, I'm not surprised in any way. This is exactly
what's most disappointing? Because they have it and goal with a chance to tie multiple times. And like, what stands out to you as most frustrating about not doing it?
I knew when Warren stepped out of bounds at the three, they weren't going to score. That's what's disappointing to me. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, you know, Penn State has a package. They have a Taysom Hill-style backup quarterback in Bo Perilla, who is a running quarterback. You have four shots from the three. He doesn't even get on the field.
Yeah.
You're going to have Drew Aller run around on one knee or one leg. I don't get it. That, to me, is coaching, and that's frustrating. But what really became visible to me, and maybe I finally had my moment of clarity, Penn State, just at every position, does not have better athletes than Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So I can blame coaching. I mean, that's the easy thing to do, and it's part of it. But Ohio State has better athletes. If Penn State had one NFL-caliber wide receiver, they would have won that game by 2 times.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a shame they don't have any difference makers at that position. Yeah. Now, they have a great tight end who makes great plays.
Unbelievable tight end who this they couldn't get the ball to.
They didn't give him the ball enough, but they tried. They handed it to him.
I don't blame Penn State. I credit Ohio State for that. They took the ball out of Warren's
hand. I would have tried to throw him one of the ones. You got four plays on the 1 yard line.
I'm still kind of thinking Aller only had one good peg. Yeah. Like, it just, he wasn't stepping into throws the same way. He missed a guy down the middle, throwing him a ground ball that, 99 times out of 100, if he's healthy, he's going to get that to him in stride. Look, if anything, I'm trying to keep this glass half full. Now you don't have to go play Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. Hopefully you don't trick another.
Honestly, that might benefit. Like,
well, I mean,
let's see where the rankings are tonight.
But, yeah. I mean, look at Indiana. Indiana could lose to Ohio State, be in the Big Ten championship, lose to Oregon, and might be out because of that.
Yep.
And that would be, I think, very unfortunate.
No, I think championship game losers are going to be penalized much more than teams that have one loss that don't make the championship game. Which is a shame.
They got to fix that.
They have to fix
that. But that's the same thing we talked to, and Nick Saban, Coach Saban brought it up as far as how these rankings are going to go. Like, BYU is going to be 4 tonight.
They should be.
Yeah, but still, should they?
I don't know.
Based on the stipulation.
Right.
Yes, I understand.
They're going to do it like that?
Yes.
To where the leader of the conference is going to get
not
the top three?
I don't think it is.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay. I was wondering how they were going to do that.
I think they're going to do it.
So Miami will be third and BYU will be fourth tonight.
Got it. What a cop-out.
Yeah.
Tell us who you think's
best. Because I'd really like to know. Like, if BYU showed up at 16, that would tell you a lot.
Also, that would be hilarious, and they'd be furious. So that'd be kind of... That'd be kind of fun also. Nothing like a bunch of furious Mormons. Remember that guy said I look like a Mormon on Friday?
He did.
That was pretty funny.
He did. He said you look like the Mormon pamphlet.
I told some people, some friends of mine from high school that I hadn't seen in a long time on Sunday about that. They thought it was funny and agreed.
And it is funny.
Yeah. It's a good line.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
He's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that guy was really funny. He's the whole heckler?
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
Heckler, he was good. All right, thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.